Can you imagine being in the presence of God and dozing out and just kind of zoning out, rather, I should say, and dozing? Well, that's what happens here at Mass sometimes. You know, we're here in the presence of the Lord who created the universe. We're in the presence of the Lord who dwells in the depths of our hearts, and we zone out during Mass. And we sometimes feel like we're bored and we don't pay attention. Any of you ever find that happen to you? Yeah, I suppose we all do from time to time. That's what happened to Peter, James, and John. There they are on the mountain with Jesus Christ right there. And Moses and Elijah come back from the dead and appear to him, the greatest prophet, the greatest of the lawgiver of to the people of Israel. And these three apostles are zoned out. I was talking about these readings with some of the teens from our confirmation program and our Life Teen program, and we were reflecting on this, and they commented on this. Some of them said, you know, they used to come to Mass, and they were bored, and they didn't really pay much attention, and they didn't get much out of it, and then something happened. It usually, in the conversation, seemed to be catalyzed by the youth retreat. They went on a youth retreat, and they began to wake up spiritually. And they got more connected to other Catholic teens. And then they started going to Life Teen. They started paying more attention to the confirmation classes. They started enjoying Mass because they were awake. They were listening. They were interested in a deeper connection with God. And that's what can happen to all of us. All of us can wake up spiritually and we can change. And we become filled with more and more peace that Christ wants to give us and joy that he wants to give us. One of the great heroes of our faith is the man I mentioned, 3,800 years ago, this man lived in what is now Iraq, about 200 miles south of Baghdad, in a city called Ur. And this man was comfortable. He had a lot of possessions. He had servants. But there was a sadness in his life as well because he had no children. His wife, Sarah, was sterile. And he was a nomad. And out of the blue, one day, God spoke to him. He's about 75 years old. And listen to what God said. This is from chapter 12 of Genesis. The Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and from your father's house to a land I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the communities of the earth shall find blessing in you." Now, this is a very strange a promise, because how is God going to bless all the nations through Abraham? He doesn't have any children. He's 75 years old. And yet Abraham did as the Lord told him. He didn't understand what this was all about, but he did it. And he left the land of Ur, and he traveled to the land of Canaan, which is now the land of Israel. And sometime after these events, the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, and he continued to explain more and more about this remarkable promise. This is chapter 15 of Genesis, and he says, "The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. I will make your reward very great." But Abram said, "O Lord God, what good will your gifts be if I keep on being childless and have as my heir the steward of my house, Eliezer?" Abram continued, "See, you've given me no offspring, and so one of my servants will be my heir." Then the word of the Lord came to him, "No, that one shall not be your heir. Your own child shall be your heir." He took him outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars if you can. Just so," he added, "shall your descendants be." Now, this is impossible. His wife can't bear children. His wife is in her 70s. Abraham is in his 70s. The next verse gives us the key to why Abraham has been so important to Christians and Jews for the last 3,800 years. The next verse is, Abraham put his faith in the Lord, who credited to him as an act of righteousness. Abraham put his faith in the Lord. Now imagine if you're in Abraham's place, 75 years old, you're comfortable, you're well off, lots of possessions. You probably think most of your life is behind you, you don't have much to live for now. But God is asking him like to begin his life all over again. He says, go to a new land. Something is waiting for you. I think some of us can relate to this passage more than others. I have a number of Vietnamese friends, and at my former parish, I was giving a Bible study to a number of those Vietnamese parishioners, and when I talked about this passage from Abraham, they got it, because they had to escape communist Vietnam. And they got into a boat, usually a little rickety boat, and had to cross an ocean, had no idea what was awaiting them. But they told me, when they read this reading from Genesis, that's how they felt. They just said, somehow, God is going to take care of us. God is going to lead us to a new land. All that Abraham knew is that God was asking him to go, and that God intended to give him what seemed impossible, land and children. And even though he was very elderly, in his heart, Abraham could still hope for the impossible. This openness of his soul is what we call faith. This is what pleased God, that openness, that trust in the promise that God made to him. Now, what happened, of course, is history, so to speak. Abraham and his wife Sarah became the patriarch and matriarch of an immense posterity, the whole Jewish people. Abraham and Sarah, they're also the spiritual father and mother of Christians. In the Eucharistic prayer, number one, Abraham is called our father in faith. So Abraham is the great example of faith for every generation of Christians and Jews, and for Muslims as well. Now, why is faith so essential for human beings? Faith is what enables us to overcome fear. And fear is probably at the root of much of the evil in our life. Look at anger, for example. Think of the last time you were angry. Weren't you afraid of losing something? Losing something material? Or losing your dignity? Or losing your image that others have of you? Think of the last time that you were nervous, anxious, insecure. You were probably afraid of something, perhaps of an unknown future or an illness. Faith casts out fear. When I was reading this passage about Abraham, I thought of something that happened to me when I was 24. I had left the seminary, figured the priesthood wasn't for me. I went off to Europe for 9 months, ran out of money, and I fell into a deep depression. I had, like, no future. I felt like I didn't have a future. And I didn't know what I was going to do when I came back to the United States. And I saw this movie about St. Francis of Assisi called Brother Sun, Sister Moon. And it changed my life. And a buddy and I went to this monastery in France, in the central highlands of France, called the Abbey of Pierre Cavire. It's a Benedictine monastery. And we made a week's retreat. And I remember I'd kneel in front of the Blessed Sacrament with the Psalms. And I'd pray, especially Psalm 25, which says, show me your way, O Lord. Show me your paths. And I remember that I was really praying for the gift of faith, and the Lord heard my prayer, and he gave me faith. And I just put my trust in him, and everything began to change. And I remember I was kneeling there in prayer. I still had no future that I could think of in particular. I didn't know what I was going to do. I had no money, and far away from home. And yet I was immensely happy. Because what came to me so clearly is that it didn't matter if I knew the particulars of my future, because my future was God. And God had a plan. I didn't know what it was, but I knew that he'd reveal it to me eventually, And I knew that it would be the best possible plan, and I was immensely happy and peaceful. It lasted for some time. I lost it later on. That seems to happen in the course of our lives. You know, we have these spiritual awakenings. We have this deep sense of connection with God. And then, for whatever reasons, we lose it. And sometimes God actually withdraws the peace to purify us, to make sure we don't get greedy for those spiritual experiences. But that experience, to me, I connected to Abraham, not knowing what the heck is going to happen in the future, but he just trusted that somehow God was going to take care of him, and everything was going to be more than just fine. That same God is your God and my God. That same God speaks to us, maybe not as dramatically as he spoke to Abraham, but he speaks to everyone who asks for faith. And we need to do that every day. We need to every day to say, Lord, please give me the gift of faith and the gift of hope. Help me to trust in you no matter what's going on in my life that may be discouraging me or upsetting me. Help me to trust that you are my future and that all will be well. God always answers that prayer.